This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So about that. All right, you are indeed in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Salute to the fellas. A salute to D&M Auto Leasing for letting us talk to the fellas. No. Don't be mad. I want to thank D&M. I thought you hit it anyways. I just like thanking D&M
hit
Auto
it once.
Leasing.
I didn't hit it a second time.
That's not what she said. That's anyways, she said. As we continue, let's get going on a Friday. How are we feeling? Let's just do that. 713-572-4610. That is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. What up, Jim? I hope you're doing well as well. Also, appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live streams that we have on video, both on the Twitch page, 610 Houston, then also on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610. How are we feeling? There's already a question sitting here looking at me that says, from the 832, question, should the Texans host a first-round draft party next year?
Oh, we'll get to that, too.
That was actually going to be one of my confessions.
Me, too.
Man.
We will have similar ones. Yeah. And we get some rationalization already. So how good is the 26 class?
That is a question worth asking just generally anyways. But, yeah, like, how are we feeling? The Texans had been slated to have the 25th pick. I think a lot of us, and as we alluded to in that crosstalk, we were having all sorts of conversations down to the wire of, do you go wide receiver? Mm-hmm. Do you go offensive lineman? What's more important for what this offense needs right now? Do you even slide in here and get an impactful interior defensive lineman to really push this defense to a place where they feel entirely untouchable? Like, what are the things that make the most sense? And we had a nice group, I think, of players that you went into the day saying, I kind of like these guys. These guys feel like the ones. And all through the night, I felt like I was being bloodlet, where it was just slowly losing. As is the draft. Like, that is actually what the draft is slowly losing guys that you think that you like until you get to a point where you draft one of the ones that hopefully you like. Yeah. Except you didn't do that. You eventually did the thing that, honestly, in the moment was frustrating because, you know, you had the build up, you had the natural kind of blue balls building, if you want to put it in those terms, and then you didn't get your release.
Yeah, look, here's where I would put it. You can rationalize. You can, you know, see the cup half full today. You can sleep on it as you did and feel a little better.
Uh-oh, I don't like what you're setting up to.
If you're not frustrated, if you weren't frustrated, you're lying. If you don't say you were frustrated, you're lying. Everything.
I'm fine with how it played out.
There's some rationalization right there from our guy Figgy Fig.
Trade back and get more picks.
There's no way.
More darts, man. These are all lottery picks, baby. More of them.
And we'll get to that.
They could clean up in the second round.
If you're saying you weren't frustrated last night, you are lying to yourself.
Well, I can't even say that because y'all were with me. Y'all were with me in the moment.
Oh, that's true. We saw it.
Y'all were with me in the moment.
Here's another analogy. You used one, the bloodletting, the slow bloodletting.
Which I don't know why that's where my brain
That's
went.
Fine. My analogy that I would use is, have you ever seen one of those kids' bouncy? Of course you have. Those kids' bouncy houses.
Oh, I love a good bouncy house.
When you unplug it. And it just slowly starts contracting and contracting and less and less. And you really want to get back in there and bounce around some more, but then you can't. And it just keeps slowly deflating and deflating. That's what it was. That's what it was, if we're being honest. Now, we're going to get to the cup half full. We're going to get to all the things that and the possibilities now. But last night, let me go through some of these for you guys, just to refresh your memory, not to pick at you.
Can I put this as a question? Because it seems like we've got people answering the question that we were thinking about anyways from the 832. I hate the Packers. All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, what was the most frustrating part of it to you? If we are going to go ahead and acquiesce to the idea that it was frustrating to some degree, I do think that there's ways that you can still view this absolutely as a place where you go, the draft goes as the draft goes. It is what it is. And then you need to be able to be malleable and work with it, as Nick Caseri will talk about. But there were still things that were inherently frustrating within this. What were those for you? And I feel like that's largely what you're going to lay out here in the way that the first round played out.
It started with the first two picks.
Really? So the idea that there was a trade in there. So, yeah, that was interesting. And we'll talk more about that as we go. But the Magnificent Gladstone, before we got out to the draft party, myself and Lopez, we rode out together. And I was kind of updating you about Mary Kay Cabot of she works in Cleveland, and she covers
legendary.
The Browns.
Cleveland.com.
Very good at what she
AKA
does.
AKA the plane dealer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. A very, very good reporter, and she's very tapped in. She made it clear that, hey, the Browns seem to have something in the tuck, right? Yeah, something. Yeah. And similarly, I think the Jags, like their in-house media, had an interview with the Magnificent Gladstone where he promised fireworks. Yeah. And I was like, if we put two and two together, it looks like four says that you're going to have to face Travis Hunter twice a year. And I was like, okay, but it's not explicit. And then we did see that trade where you're going to have to face Travis Hunter twice a year.
Yeah, and that was the first frustration. We're like, ooh, because you guys, everybody knows this, and I've been saying it over the top. I think he's fantastic, and we'll get to him specifically later. That's one. And then offensive lineman comes off the board. Another offensive lineman comes off the
board. Wait, which ones are you talking about?
Just go down the list.
So Will Campbell, which that was expected.
Another. You know, that was another frustrating part. All these old linemen that we talked about and we're kind of hoping for started coming up. That's another frustration.
All right, so the frustration offensively, there's clearly two offensive linemen that I think were the most frustrating. It's because they had been associated so heavily with the Texans. And shout out to Daniel Jeremiah, who kind of talked about these guys being like very closely tied to the Texans. One of them is Kelvin Banks Jr., who goes 9 to the Saints in a way that I just did not anticipate there. Like, I think with the reporting that had started coming in closer and closer to the draft, understanding that as insiders get more insight closer to the draft, we get more of what seems like will actually be the case. Mm-hmm. And when we were seeing Kelvin Banks going 6th or what have you, I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
The idea of the dream at 25 for him in particular is not going to be there. But I never would have guessed that it would be the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
I thought that was one of those places. And really, I think to express myself more clearly, the thing about that is you see some places where you go, I don't have to worry about them taking one of my quote-unquote guys, right?
Yeah.
The guys that I think are in the pool of players that I would want at my selection or near my selection. And the Saints did not seem like one of those places where I thought an offensive lineman will go. Boom, you take an offensive lineman, and not that. One of the ones that's on a priority list for me personally with this Texas team, and I went, oh, I tugged at my collar.
Yeah.
The second one was seeing Tyler Booker go to the Cowboys.
Tyler Booker goes.
Like, that was the thing that got me, because specifically I knew the Cowboys wanted Teteroa McMillan as a wide receiver. And I had heard rumors that if they didn't get that, they'd trade back, understanding that maybe trading back wasn't that easy.
Yeah.
I knew that Booker was a guy that they liked. For some reason in my brain, I didn't get to the idea that they would take one of the guys that you like.
Yeah.
And once you have that, we are officially in a quote-unquote run.
Frustrating mode. And then, hey, Gray Zabel might drop to the Texans. Nope. Gray Zabel goes 18 to Seattle. And so there's another offensive lineman that goes off the board. Oh, I know. Hey, we're getting close to the Texans pick. One pick before the Texans traded out. There goes Donovan Jackson. So that's the other frustrator. There's two right there. Then we're like, okay, well, what about wide receiver then?
Yeah, that was the one. As we started getting closer.
Hey, Matthew Golden's dropping.
It felt like that was in play.
Yeah.
It felt very much like, and I know that, it's funny because I know that I've been on this on these airwaves, and yes, 832, when they talk about the Saints, the Saints did have Ryan Ramczyk just retire.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe Kelvin Banks steps in as his replacement at right tackle. But I have been very, very high as a proponent of offensive line to try and make sure that this offensive line is better, not just in this year, but in the coming years, building back an offensive line. But I understand and I recognize what Matthew Golden is as a player, and as he started, quote unquote, falling, because it's always a weird,
he
weird
did,
thing
though,
to view it
by
that
most,
way.
Mocks and such.
Yeah, but mocks aren't ultimately what the actual value is. But as he is still on the board getting later and later, I'm like, okay, I am willing, especially with the way that this draft is falling, where offensive linemen are going and maybe some of the ones that are more palatable in this particular bucket of players early on are not necessarily there, you could very easily convince me on a Matthew Golden, a receiver that has a lot of versatility. He has the speed capable of kind of taking the top off a defense that I know people wanted. That's a weapon that, and then for the bleeping Green Bay Packers to take him. Two picks before you.
They hadn't taken one since 02.
Who don't take first round wide receiver. That's the one.
They wasn't doing that with Aaron Rodgers.
They ticked off Aaron Rodgers behind not selecting wide receivers in the first round. And now.
Now y'all want to have a change of heart.
Now. y'all showing out for the public because y'all hosting now? Yeah. Y'all had That's people exactly at the house and y'all wanted to show out? Is that what happened?
You see all that sauce they put into that selection?
Oh my gosh. It took 10 minutes. It took 10 minutes to get the. So, like, frustration with the what the division's doing, frustration with the linemen, frustration with the wide receivers, frustration with what you just described. Two picks. The Texans are going to have to get either Golden or Jackson, right? No, the two picks before those guys were gone. And then just the general frustration of building up and building up and all these things we're talking about and all these mocks and all the things the Texans can do. And, oh, Nick Caserio loves to trade up and all that. And then you don't even get a pick. Like, everybody was all dressed up at the party and the band didn't show up. You know?
No, the mariachis were there.
The mariachis were there and they make everything better. But that's
– You got some second-round picks, though. You got a second round pick. What you talking about?
Yeah, and we'll get there. We can turn that into okay. Maybe we're cooking a little bit. The frustration is undeniable.
Yeah, and I guess an additional frustration that was entirely different was just like being at the draft party and having all this happen and like the anxiety that you were building up to, and then literally they rained on your parade.
It rains.
It literally rained on your parade. It was such a weird experience being out there, and literally it rained, and I'm jumping into the situation where I'm trying to help the fellas that are conducting the draft coverage that you heard here on Sports Radio 610, helping them get inside, out of the rain, get the equipment, and it's like it took me away from stuff. So some of this stuff is also filtered through the lens of, you know, I'm carrying equipment and then finding out that, Kelvin Banks Jr. is gone or not. Actually, that one was a little bit later, but finding out that Tyler Booker's being taken or what have you, all of those types of things was very, very weird. But it is worth asking, like, especially as you see the offensive lineman go, you see Matthew Golden go. Do you feel like the Texans and Nick Caserio should have been more aggressive in the way that you, I mean, we've detailed and we've talked about, and I was honestly maybe overwrought at this point about his history being aggressive trading up. Do you feel like they should have been more aggressive?
I think they were. I do feel like they should have been more aggressive because we just laid out all the players that were not taken that could have been Texans that we kind of had earmarked as future Texans potentially. So and then he said it. He said we talked to the whole league.
Yes.
We talked to the whole league. So here's the second part to your question. And I don't mean this necessarily in a bad way, because sometimes this happens. The deal is not what you think it is as the general manager of an NFL team. Did he blink? Did he blink a little bit? Should he have maybe, made one of these deals if it wasn't completely outrageous? We don't know what it was.
Well, but that's the thing is, I mean, even just seeing that first pick or first trade, because there's a few trades that maybe give you a level of an idea as to what the cost,
what the market is,
would have been for certain levels of move up. Mm-hmm. And we saw, a next year first round pick go in going for what could be a generational player in Travis Hunter in that selection, or the pick, or the trade rather, is what I'm looking for, between the Jaguars and the Browns. Moving up three picks, you see a swap for a second and a third, basically, and then a first round pick going in there as well. Or actually, I'm mixing up drafts, or rather trades.
Yeah.
You saw a first-round pick get included in that, which it felt like quarterback-type pay in order to move up there. And that made me wonder.
It was a first-round pick for next year and a second this year.
That's right. Yeah. And I do wonder, like, does that mean that it was kind of exorbitant pay and cost to move up? And do you want Caserio pushing outside of his comfort zone or outside of what is deemed reasonable value in order to move up for a player? Whether it's Golden or whether it's, I guess, Donovan Jackson would have still been in some level of range, assuming that that is a player that they liked, because I don't know what their board is or what have you. Like, would you have liked even a relatively small move up to, like, maybe 21
where the Steelers were or something like that? The other thing he said in his press conference was specifically he mentioned teams in the teens, which would have been, you'd have to give something up, but maybe not as much. And that's why I'm wondering, like, In his mind, it was the right thing to do, or else he wouldn't have done it.
Correct.
But he's made these moves in the past, and did he kind of, should he have maybe, you know, bit the bullet and gone ahead and gotten the guy he wants? Because now, this is the other part of this. You know, the lineman pool is very, very thin. It's more, you know, 60 to 70 range, and we'll get to that. The wide receiver pool, Luther Burden is out there, but outside of that, there's not a lot of wide receivers that are in the sweet spot of 34 where they pick now. By the way, we didn't give the terms of that trade, but they got now they have 2 second rounders, 2 third rounders.
That was the Browns trade that happened even before, I was talking to a friend and I was like, you know what this feels like? It feels like Nick Caserio went to the corner store and got changed for a five because that trade saw the Texans trade. And let me make sure I get these details right. They traded a couple of fifth round picks. This one, this year's pick, 166 overall, and 2027's fifth round pick. So not next year, 2 years from now, for 170, pick 179, which is in the sixth round, pick 216, which is also in the sixth round, and then a seventh rounder seventh rounder this year. In fact, they added a whole bunch of like late round, super super late round day three picks, and I was like, I don't know that those were going to factor in on day one, but what I think that does, if you're going to use the word cope or what have you, I think that he has more and more ammo to move around in these mid rounds, and makes me think that we're in for some real fireworks today, even though we did not have anything of fireworks worthy on day one.
And just the ones that matter the most, they now have today picks number 34, 58, 79, 89, and 99. So, you know, good stuff. And we'll get to what, you know, the what now aspect of this soon.
Yeah, and I do think that there's still some offensive linemen in here, but it does feel like if we're talking about tiers, if we're talking about buckets, you kind of missed out on that first bucket. And sometimes that is how the draft falls. I thought Nick Caserio did make a reasonable decision based off of the way that the draft fell. But let's dig into that more, man. We got all day to cover that, to talk about what's next for the Texans. Hell, the Rockets got a basketball game tomorrow. Let's get going. And Luke, coming up next, let's talk more about it. And let's actually hear from Nick Caserio. What did Nick Caserio have to say after day one of the NFL draft? We'll do that next in the Luke.